I wish you all mothers happy Mother's Day, and for all women that, you know, especially work with little ones, you know, there's a special kind of nurturing that happens, the gift that you women bring, mothers in the flesh or not. There's that special kind of nurturing that you bring to the world and to the church. Now, you know me, I'm going to talk about the other side of that. Sorry. That's the way my mom raised me. Anyway, this is an observation I've made for a month short of 37 years of hearing confessions. Just broad observation. It's about moms and women in general, but you guys could listen too. See if this fits. It may not fit everybody. Sorry, but it may. Check it out. I believe, I hear, I have heard for these many years, women labor under a burden of the ideal woman. Whether it's, you know, what we usually do is trash advertising at this point and stuff. But you got to look like this, you got to look affluent, you got to have it all together, especially at Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. When you take family photos, it's got to be everybody, can, you know, with a big smile and everything's perfect. And that is intensified among some by perfectionist tendencies. And so, what I hear is the woundedness of it all. I'm not good enough. I'm not living up to. I don't deserve. I'm unworthy. Ring any bells? The upshot of this, what I hear again, broadly speaking, it's no one here, is that there's this, that self-incrimination becomes a terrible judgment that results in a harsh, I gotta change, I gotta lock this sucker down, I gotta get better, and you know, I'm gonna do that. And with everybody else. I'm not going to ask for an amen on that. I was reading a Jesuit the other day who talked about, who had this theory that everybody needed to get their act together and work really hard at change until he saw the results of what he was teaching. And he turned it around and said, forget all that stuff. He said that our attempts to change ourselves or others, inasmuch as it is based upon intolerance, in other words, intolerance is the motive of others or self, will never succeed. This is the perfectionist part, so maybe some of you guys will resonate. We set about correcting it with hidden spite and ill-concealed violence. And that never brings about change. Being harsher and angrier and harder on self and others never brings about the desired change. We seek to live, to change in order to be accepted, to conform to the expectations of others, to live up to some ideal image we have of ourselves. We are impatient with ourselves and others, and so we want to force change. That don't work. Think about your life. Doesn't change come from the consolation of joy and love and acceptance? If that's the case, here's the thing, the connection to the gospel. Go preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins to all the nations. And Jesus was giving this to people who had not repented. That's us. They hadn't repented yet. Even in the first reading, as we heard, Jesus is saying, you know, this is the way it's going to do. I'm kind of wrapping this thing up. And they say, oh, are you going to restore the kingdom? In other words, are you going to kick the Romans out of this territory, out of Judea? They wanted change that was out of force. So, I'm saying this to look at the scripture of today as a way of saying it's about acceptance and about the consolation and peace and joy that comes from that. So repentance is one of the two key words in Greek, metanoia. We usually say metanoia. It's part of the early gospel of Luke. John came proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So even in chapter 3, it was happening with the disciples. What I'd suggest for now, you women, it's about being sent to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And there are a couple passages. This is based in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament that gives a picture of repentance. In chapter 11, speaking to God, because the whole world before you is like a speck that tips the tails and a drop of morning dew. But you are merciful to all, for you can do all things. And you overlook people's sins so that they might repent. For you love all things that exist and detest none of the things that you have made. For you would not have made anything if you had hated it. Wow. It's not a picture of an angry God. The disciples were sent to proclaim, and the connection is with the Old Testament. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me and sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to prisoners. How do we proclaim that unless we're moving toward that? Last thing is the most wonderful thing. It says, and you will be clothed with power from on high. Two quick things. The verb to clothe in duo. The contrast is when Jesus goes to the, I forget what it's called in Luke's gospel, and he finds this guy who's been living up in the tombs and gashing himself and scaring the heck out of everybody. He was not clothed. He was. He was deeply wounded. And so he wounded himself and scared everybody else. And the picture is, he wore no clothes. And in chapter 12, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you are to eat, about your body, what you are to clothe yourself with. But the key thing in the story of the prodigal son, when the son comes back, quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and clothe him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. That clothing is acceptance and welcome for the one who has strayed and come back. That's the power that we will be clothed with from on high by the Holy Spirit. So in seeking to be clothed with that power, really it's best translated ability or capacity, I think it's about being able to be welcomed, to find the joy of welcome and the consolation of peace, because that is what changes us and others. And I speak that to you women today because of what I hear in underneath that is a woundedness that is looking for that kind of acceptance, and it's right there in the gospel. So on this Mother's Day, I don't want it to be just happy for you, but joyful and peaceful and full of the kind of love that speaks to you, that proclaims acceptance and welcome, so that that might be part of the transformation that we all seek, and to bring that to others. That's what repentance for the forgiveness of sins is about. It's not being a good little boy or good little girl. It's about becoming more real and more loving. A happy Mother's Day.